Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of Flashcast. I am joined again with my good friend and business partner, Mr. Rob Hutt. How are you doing today, Rob?
I'm amazing, yeah. Luke has made me a cup of coffee, but we are running out of milk, so it's a little bit sparse, the whole milk situation in there. But do you know what? It's the thought that counts.
Thought that counts, absolutely. And speaking of thoughts that count, I just wanted to give out a very quick shout out to my grandfather, who released his book fairly recently called Fatal Fix. It's a really excellent crime thriller. I only recently got my copy, so I'm still reading through it at the moment. The plot of the book is really, really interesting. The thing that I've really liked, in fact, is actually in the first couple of pages, there's sort of like a sort of flashbacky event for the main character, Matt Riley, where you look back into his past, into his childhood. And there's an event, I won't spoil anything, but there's an event that happens in his childhood that really sets the tone and feel of the book. I think it's absolutely fantastic. So if you do want to pick it up, you can pick it up on Amazon, either as a Kindle or as a physical, as I have here. I highly recommend it. I'd love you guys to read it. It's been a really, really strong, interesting passion project for my grandfather. And I'm so happy it's out. It's really great.
On a serious note, we've been doing the promotional videos.
Or
you
have,
saying, you've been doing the promotional videos as well. And I've been listening to his sort of narration on why he was writing the book, where the influences came from. And it's really compelling, really engaging stuff.
It's so really exciting.
When do I get my copy, Luke? That's what I want to know.
I will personally send one over right away. I'll do it after this. I'll send one over to you. I'll fling it over to you.
I'll keep you updated in the next podcast just to make sure he actually does it.
I will. Speaking of, obviously, the videos that I've done for this, today's topic is all around your first video. Now, obviously, because of COVID, a lot of people are approaching video, they're taking video up. Obviously Zoom has been super prominent with everyone, and a lot of people are now looking at doing promotional videos. They're doing stuff in-house, whether that's Facebook Lives, anything like that. Today's topic is all about your first video, exactly that. Like I said, a lot of people are interested in learning about video, starting off, really, Rob, do you remember your first video? What was your experience like?
I do. My first video was when I was at sixth form, and it was part of a media studies course, and we had this module which was on video, and we had to make a trailer for a horror film, and I was hooked. I remember we shot it in my mate's bedroom with my mate's sister, and it was something, I think we had a Scream mask involved at the time. This is kind of when the Scream franchise was first coming out, and I just thought it was the most amazing thing in the world that you could play this thing out in front of you and record it, add some music, add some effects, and create, you know, a kind of a turbocharged version of reality and play it back to engage people. I loved it.
Excellent. That's really cool. Scream mask as well, classic.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, yeah.
No, that's cool.
What about you, Luke? What's yours?
Yeah, my first video, I can't remember exactly what it was, but no, that's not true. I do remember my first video. It actually came out quite nicely, but I remember not knowing, I hadn't used, although I'd done a bit of video stuff in the past, I hadn't used software before, you know, editing software. So I remember literally I had to deliver it overnight, basically. I spent the entire night until 6 o'clock in the morning just editing this thing, trying to make it as close to perfect as I could at the time. And it actually from there sort of started my career. So it was an important video for me. It was kind of like a vlog type video. It was all right. But at the time, I was very much, you know, still learning. And since then, I can, you know, it's very obvious. A lot of people that have worked with me, you know, over time, over the last, you know, number of years, all say now they see the progression of where I started to where I am now. So it's important. I mean, the main thing about all the tips that we're obviously going to give today is just practice. You know, practice makes perfect. But nonetheless, there are definitely some tips that maybe videographers might know and people that use cameras a lot and stuff might know that seem obvious to us, but I think are really helpful for people that are just starting out that we're going to talk about today.
If there are any professional videographers out there which have tons of tips, it'd be really useful for us to know for our business. So.
Absolutely, yeah. No. Fling us up. Yeah, no, we're always learning. That's
absolutely
what I say.
No, so like every day is a school day.
Absolutely,
day.
Absolutely. So what would you like to start off as the first tip, Mr. Rob?
Okay, so I think I want to wind it right back to the beginning. So this is your first video, and I want to ask a question. Why? You know, why are you producing this video? So for me, I had a particular task that was set to me. It was part of like an education program. I was in sixth form, produce a video, and it was to try and draw out some skills in me. So I had, you know, it was like a brief that was supplied to me. So that's a lot easier in some respects. So you can respond to that brief. But maybe you're out there and you're starting a YouTube channel. This is your first YouTube video, or you're promoting your business, or you don't have a brief, or maybe you're kind of generating your own brief in your mind, I want to talk about, you know, why are you producing a video? So so when we produce videos for our clients, we usually get a relative, well, saying that, it can vary. Sometimes it's a very strict, detailed brief.
Yep.
So we want an advert for our technology company, and it needs to communicate to this audience, and it needs to have these things in it, and it needs to be this long, and it needs to have a presenter, and it needs to have music, and it needs to have graphics, it needs to have these graphics. Here's a Word document with the graphics. And that can be no more or less challenging than if you've got something which is not so prescribed, and it's like, I have a cool product and I don't know how to tell people about it, because each one of those scenarios has different challenges. If it's very detailed, our job as videographers is to try and make the video as creative and as engaging as possible. But if the client has a very strict kind of view of what they need, you need to do two things. You need to meet that. They need to be really happy with the outcome, but you also need to challenge their thinking a little bit. If you've got unique insights around an audience or a particular process to make the video that they haven't considered, without completely moving away from the vision in their mind.
Absolutely.
And then for someone who's really passionate about their product or themselves or their film or whatever it is, you know, and they're looking for a video, it's about kind of bringing ideas to them and, you know, looking at how those ideas are received. You know, if they're getting excited, that's really important. And we bring the expertise in terms of what their audience is likely to get excited about as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I think that's important, especially for clients. I think for people that are doing things at home, what would you relate back to them in that sense? I suppose purpose, like what's the purpose?
Give me an example.
If I would say sort of like maybe something like a finance company or something, they don't have the budget or just experimenting with video for the first time. They've had blogs and stuff like that, but they're like, right, video seems to be the thing right now. I just want to do something in the office. What do they do? There is a promotion. Okay. They need to get 30% more sales this month. There you go. That's it.
Let's say that it's a B2C, so business to consumer product.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So this is a finance product which they're selling to consumers. So, Joe and Jane Public. And their instinct may be to sort of list all the unique selling points. So we're a regulated company. You know, this product has been accredited by the FCA. It is available over 3 to 5 year terms. This is the interest rate. You know, all of those things, which are obviously really important. But here's the kind of really important part of making a video. Does anyone care?
Yeah, exactly.
About those things specifically? Yes, they probably do after they've watched the video, because actually, within the video itself, you've got to do one thing first of all, which you've got to engage, and you've got to kind of inspire people. And then once they kind of get excited, once they kind of buy in to what you're telling them, then they can go and educate themselves on a website, you know, or a telephone call, or you know, a chat with one of your customer service agents, etc. So what I would say is, okay, don't focus on what you want to tell them or what you feel like you should tell them. Focus on what they're interested in knowing or what matters to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, exactly. It's putting yourselves in their shoes. And I know a lot of people say that. They often say, put yourself in the customer's shoes. But I don't think people do it enough, because they're still, you know, whether it's the sales manager, whoever it is still focused on detail. I think that's what you said. That's what you're getting to. Is the point is, detail is important, but often people will look into the details after you've initially grabbed them. So just flinging the details up right away probably isn't the best idea. Whereas if you're just trying to get their attention initially, focus on attention and just capturing them. So understanding, okay, so from a basic standpoint, what is someone looking for? What is the problem they're having? What's the solution that we're offering? Giving that, and then afterwards, then talk about detail. But especially for a 1 minute video that you might put on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever it might be, just starting off, hey, we're ... Here's all the details. Isn't going to do anything. So I think that's a very good point. That's a good starting point, I think. From a practical standpoint, what advice can we give? Because I know there are things, obviously, we can talk about lighting, background, things like that. I think there are little things to cover. One thing I'm going to say before I forget it is a lot of people, I'm going to assume, aren't going to bring out a DSLR. They're not just going to purchase a DSLR.
We should have a jargon buster here. Okay, so digital single lens reflex. So basically, okay. You have, let's talk about the evolution of equipment a little bit. That's a nice one to do. So you've got your mobile phone, which is really easy. You press the camera button and you press record, and it does a lot of clever stuff for you. It adjusts the aperture, adjusts the shutter speed, ND filters, your ISO, all that stuff automatically. It's like an inbuilt algorithm. If you want to kind of be more creative and have more control, traditionally, you know, even before kind of mobile phones, you had what was called a SLR, which is a single lens reflex camera, which is basically like a camera body, which I know you guys can't. Maybe you could flick something up on the screen.
I'll pop something up.
It's like a traditional camera that, like, good example would be, who's the journalist from the Spider-Man films?
Oh,
he's quite famous.
Thompson. As in, like, oh, you mean Peter Parker? Peter Parker's the one that takes the photos, but then you've obviously got, I know, it's Stingy Thompson that's like, Parker, what are you doing?
Okay, so that whole sort of news agency, so Peter Parker, what he would be holding in his hand would be a single lens reflex camera. It's basically where there's a mirror system that reflects the picture that you're looking at into the mirror onto a some film, which is exposed with the image. So what a single lens does is it's just a single lens coming in with a mirror system. DSLR, it does the same thing, but instead of film, there's just a digital sensor. Mm-hmm. So a DSLR would kind of be your first journey from a plug and play, point and snap camera to something where you've got control. You can control the shutter speed. You could control the everything, literally everything, composure, everything. Now, I'm not going to suggest that's a natural evolution, because actually it might be, do you know what, I don't need to know those things. That's why I hire companies like Flashbots, because I don't need to learn this. I want to be a master of my craft, and if I need other people who are masters of theirs, I'm going
to
bring them in.
Well, that's the thing. Tools are important. Use the tools that you have. So I think, like I said, what I was going to go on to is assuming people are starting from the beginning, it's their first video, let's assume they don't have a DSLR. They're shooting something with their phones, whether it's an iPhone, whatever it is. My one big piece of advice that I see people make mistakes all the time, because at the moment more than ever, because they're all starting off shooting video for the first time, there are some mistakes that everyone's making. I'm seeing it a lot right now, which is the way you shoot. Now, you've got landscape and portrait. Instagram. So one thing that's important for all social medias, generally speaking, is taking up what you call real estate. So if a phone has this much space on it, whenever you're scrolling through, you want to maximize the amount of real estate that you're capturing. And that depends on how you shoot things. Now, Facebook and LinkedIn, I'd recommend shooting this way. And then anything that you're doing on Instagram, I recommend shooting this way, just because of how the social media is built. And because you're shooting it this way, obviously you get more space. But it's very important, because I often see a lot of videos, especially on LinkedIn at the moment, where people that are learning to do video and doing their first ones are shooting it this way, then they stick it onto LinkedIn and you've got the big black bars on the side. I know. It's just a thing.
It's a natural thing that you always hold your phone.
No, of course. You always hold your phone like this. So it makes sense that when you do your first video, you want to film it like this. Just that one movement there makes a massive difference.
While we're on really simple stuff that could either kind of ruin or make or break a video, when you take your phone and you turn it horizontally, you need to now be aware of where the lens is. I know this is a really silly thing, but the amount of videos that have the thumb or the finger now coming in and cropping some of the film, or you go for that perfect take and you're like, oh no, my thumb was in there. So just be aware. You're now taking your phone, you're turning it horizontally. You're now, okay, that's brilliant. Now just be aware where now the lens is, just to make sure you keep that clear.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's just the first little point that I wanted to get across, because I knew if I didn't bring it up right away, I was going to forget it. But it's something that I've seen a lot recently on LinkedIn it's been bugging me a little bit, and I'm like, oh, can everyone just, it's just really little thing, and it just makes the video so much better. I think the second thing that I'd like to talk about, probably because I find it quite important, and I'm still learning about every day, I'm still learning every day myself, is lighting. I'd consider you to be pretty darn good at lighting.
That's very kind of you to say that.
I think if you take the lead on lighting, because I think you've got probably a bit more better advice than I do. I think the main thing is, I know you've talked about a lot, is just start from scratch. Turn all the lights off, just have natural light, and then start from there and build up from there. I think it's probably a very, that's what you say, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So if you're shooting outside, then it's a lot easier because you can use the sun, you know, wherever that is. If you've got a really sunny day, that might be too much and it might actually overexpose or create really deep dark shadows, and you might not want that. So you could easily take like the back of a piece of paper or a pad which is white, mm-hmm. and then just kind of point that so you're kind of reflecting the sun back from the paper, the reflection into the shadows on someone's face if you're doing some daylight shooting. Ideally, you'd get a reflector. You can get them for about £10 on Amazon or, you know, whatever your marketplace of choice mm-hmm. happens to be. And it's really simple. It makes a huge difference. And also, you can kind of have a gold, like a warm tint, or a silver, or kind of a white, sort of more neutral one. But what you're doing is you're filling in that contrast, filling in those shadows. If you're inside, I would 100% say, just turn the lights off. Let's see what you're working with. Now, that's on the assumption that you have lights with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's start in a scenario where you don't have any lights with you. So what I would say is, okay, turn the lights off. What's the daylight looking like coming in? You know, what are you trying to film? If you're trying to film an interview, then actually you want that to be nicely lit. You want it to be kind of nothing too dramatic, usually. Mm-hmm. So you might want to move them towards the light source. So, okay, what we'll do is we'll move it so the light from the window is on your face. And then perhaps, if you can, find some sort of reflector to reflect the light coming from the window back up into the shadows. So it gives a nice, nice balanced look. Mm-hmm. So that would be a sensible thing to do. Now, if you've got a lighting kit, ideally, you'd have three of those. If you've only got one, what I would say is probably use that. Excuse me. If you don't have a reflector or the reflector's not quite pushing back enough light, use the additional light to fill in some of the shadows, assuming the primary light source, so mm-hmm. your sort of ambient light coming in from the window is strong enough. If you've got a little reflector, backlighting stuff is really nice. So it's not a great example here, but if we were in the studio here, to kind of give you an example, is at the moment we've got our sort of primary light source, which are actually four LED panels up here. So we've got two at the top, we've got two at the bottom, and then we've got kind of a side light, which is like a side sort of feature light. So these are our key lights. This is our kind of fill light. And then what we'd sometimes have in the studio is a backlight here, which would basically, and it feels like potentially wasted light source, but it's not. So what it does is it shines up on the back of the head, and it needs to be out of sight. You don't want to see it. Mm-hmm. What it does is it kind of creates a point of differentiation between the subject matter and the background. So it does that. So the shot feels more layered. And also creates a kind of, if you get it right, like a halo.
Yeah, it definitely highlights. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
And women highlights. With like wispy hair, the more wispy, the kind of the bigger hair you got, the more detail, the kind of the more impactful.
Well, the big thing is it makes the speaker stand up, which is the main thing. If that's the focus of the video, that's what it does, absolutely. So lighting, quite important. Secondly, you sort of brought it up anyways, but background. A lot of people don't check the background before they actually start filming. Now, if you're just doing like a walk around vlog type thing, it's a bit of a different story. But if you are just setting up the camera and you've just got your iPhone or whatever it is, you're setting it up, look at the background. I mean, it's very simple. Generally speaking, the eye likes symmetry. I know you're not that conventional sometimes you kind of like quirky things, but generally speaking, I think you'd agree, you know, symmetry, lines. I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but check the background. That's an important thing to check. Make sure that you've all seen those fails on YouTube where, you know, someone was taking a video and there was someone behind in the toilet or something or whatever it was. They're quite good, aren't they?
Definitely. Yeah. Controlling your environment, controlling your background. Imagine there are sort of 9 grids on your screen or on your camera that you're looking mm-hmm. at. Now, if you've got someone looking into the frame, so if you're not looking into the camera but looking into either side of the frame, give them more space that they're looking into. So they're, let's say, for instance, I'm in the frame here, mm-hmm. and this is kind of the frame of the camera, and I'm looking in that direction. I want more space between me, my nose, my face, where I'm looking, to the edge of the camera that side than I would do this side. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would look unbalanced. I don't want my head cut off, and I don't want too much headroom as well. So if I create a little bit of headroom, so I can see that, and I'm looking into the side of the camera, the side of the frame, and there's more in front of me than there is behind, immediately, aesthetically, it looks like a nice shot, and you've got
absolutely
a really good starting point.
Absolutely, yeah, no, that's a very good point. So symmetry, backgrounds, lighting. The only other thing is, and I think a lot of people, I often get asked, if I want to do videos, what's the most important thing? And this is probably the best piece of advice I think I can give, which is sound over anything. Now, that's just, I would say it's opinion-based, but it's definitely not. In the example that I'll give, which is, if you ever watch a YouTube video and you've got, for example, you have, I'm trying to think, if you've got two videos, they're the same. One of them's a worse quality, as in like visually, but the sound is clearer, and one of them looks great but sounds horrible, and you've got like wind and stuff going on, you'll always watch the one that's lower quality. And that's just, I think most people would agree with that. So a lot of often when people say to me, what should I invest in and what should I think about buying first, I always say sound. I say, if you invest in sound, because you can have, you know, you can have just your iPhone here, which are now, you know, they're capturing really good quality video. Set up a microphone, whether that's a lapel mic or something like that, that can cost you.
What's a lapel mic, Luke?
So if we had two types of microphone, generally speaking, that people would start off with, you'd have a shotgun mic, some sort of shotgun mic, or you'd have a lapel mic. Lapels are the ones that, or lav mics as they're often called. A lav mic is something that would go, you know, you see them in interviews and on BBC and stuff like that. Little one that attaches onto you here. Starting off, you don't need a wireless one. You can just get a cabled one, stick it into your phone. You might need an adapter, and that will drastically improve your video. Massively, huge. Probably the best advice I can give is sound in that. Or a shotgun mic, which would just be a little microphone that you can stick on onto your phone if you've got like a little rig set up or something like that. Or just put it, you know, just put it somewhere safe where you can get enough distance. It's probably, I think if you were doing things in an office and whatever it was, as long as you had a long enough cable, a lav mic would probably be best. But if it's just even just the subtle difference between having the, you know, the microphones that come on phones versus just even a cheap shotgun mic, I'm sure, you know, assuming check your reviews and stuff, just drastic difference. And honestly, the difference in quality and viewership, I mean, if the aim of the video is to get more views or to get people engaging with you, you are 10,000 times more likely, maybe exaggeration, but much, much more likely for people to engage with you and actually watch what you're doing. Sound. Check your sound. Sound is most important. Videos are great. You can use an old iPhone. Jesus, you could use an iPhone 5, but as long as you've got a lapel mic or something like that, it would make a massive difference. I think that's probably, I mean, that's what I would say is probably the most important thing,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you think how popular podcasts are now, and how many silent movies.
Oh, can, big time!
You
of
know,
course,
how many
yeah.
silent movies can you name?
No, exactly.
You can't really, because people can. Well, one, they can listen while they're doing something else, and also, you know, we absorb a lot of information. I mean, if we're looking at something and we're reading, that's different. If you're scrolling through Facebook, that's great. It's better to have no sound and sort of subtitles or captions or graphics than it is to have bad sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
It annoys and it irritates people as well. You talked about, you know, getting good sound, but I think what's really important is monitoring good sound as well. So sound is obviously a big variable. So, you know,
it's a wavelength, as people know. You probably learned from school, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So we have lots of soundproofing in here. We've got soundproof curtains. We've got sort of bass catchers here. We've got all these soundproof acoustic panels, and that allows us to control the sound in the studio. So we don't really hear anything that's going on outside, and we can make sure that for a prolonged period we're recording sound. And the big thing is we're listening to our sound as well.
Absolutely.
You know, what we're doing is if anything happens, we can go, you know, can we stop for a second? There was a plane flying over there. There was a dog barking in the background. There was a baby crying over there. And what we could do is we could say, can we just do that section again? Because if you don't do that section again, then what will happen is you'll get into the editing suite, and that could be like days or weeks later. And then the really important sort of like soundbite that you've been waiting for the whole video to capture, suddenly it's got the baby or the dog.
Absolutely. It always happens, doesn't it? It's not always happens, especially that's what's so great about having a controlled environment like this. We know nothing's going to come through, you know? Whereas I know from experience in the past, I've had client projects where we filmed, and we were filming, there was a project, a client that I've had for a very long time, and the area that we filmed in, right next door, very nearby, there was like a local, I don't really call it, like plane It basically, you know, those kind of like stunt planes where they like you can pay whatever it is, and they bring you up in one of these little planes, and they do like the loops and stuff like that. And he was right above us every time we filmed.
Oh, really?
And it was so difficult because we had to get the actors to basically pull off the sentence or the paragraph of what they were recording in between the flights. So we could hear him come down.
That's really good. And then, can you do that again?
I don't want to get it. But once he did his loop, so you could hear him do the loops. You went, and then when you heard him go away, I'd go like, go, play, action, right, let's go. And then he'd come back, and then we'd have to stop. And it was so difficult. But so in not controlled environments, obviously, it's a lot more difficult. Like I said, babies crying, dogs barking, whatever it is.
And that goes back to thinking about your environment as well. Mm-hmm. If you know you're going to be recording audio, think about the likely things that could happen. Have I booked an Amazon parcel to arrive in the next half an hour?
Yeah.
You know, are the kids about to come back from school? You know, is the neighbor practicing drums again? Whatever it might be, just try and think ahead. And then if not, remove yourself, remove those variables. Like a good quality video is about reducing the variables of things that could go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
And controlling everything. I mean, to the extent that we have, you know, really expert professional equipment that in theory can, so we can record sound on our cameras, but we never do that. So we can actually record sound. I'm not talking about the on-camera mic, which you should never really use. That's just for a second monitor. I'm talking about sort of plugging a quarter jack into the camera. The audio processor inside the camera, we don't consider high quality enough. Mm. That's why we use one of these things. So it's a Zoom H4n, and it's got a much larger processor. So the sound quality, so the kind of the bandwidth, the data going in there, is the maximum possible. So you're not losing sort of any tone, any frequencies at all. And then we've got more data to take into the editing suite to manipulate. So you know, as professionals, we take it to another level. You guys should at least be, you know, having these safeguards on a basic level.
Exactly. I mean, I think the reason why using one of those is great is because when things then do go wrong, or you know, inevitable things, dog barks, whatever it is, because we've captured more data, we're able to edit it to, we've got more ability to edit things out that go wrong, basically. You know, we can dim certain, we've got the forms, and you can dim the bass and all this stuff, you know, whatever it is that we can do to adjust it. But at the very least, like you said, I think, just from a basic standpoint, if you're just doing it at home with your iPhone, whatever it is, removing the variables that can go wrong. Probably my last piece of advice that I've got, and then you can interject with whatever things you've got, is be prepared and don't be shy of making mistakes. If you're doing it in the office with everyone around, make it a fun thing. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to scuff up. You're going to reword whatever thing, you know, whatever you did. It's going to happen, and it happens to everyone. It happens to us all the time. I screw up basically constantly, but which is why it's great to do a podcast like this, because we can just have a conversation.
Yeah, we've got things to talk about.
Exactly. But in a general speaking sense, don't be embarrassed. I'm sure you'll probably shoot it lots of times.
And that's the beauty about video.
Exactly.
You know, you can rehearse it, record it, replay it.
Exactly.
You know, we're not in the live event industry. We can live stream, but you know, we're not about one-off performances. This is about a polished performance to the highest quality, recorded to the highest quality, and played out to the highest quality to the largest audience possible.
Absolutely. So yeah, that was just my last thing. Rob, do you have any other tips/advice that you anyone?
I would say, I mean, there's a million things.
Yeah, we could go on forever.
I'm going to give my last one, which I think is a really important one, which is, if this is your first video, then I'm assuming there's a good assumption here that it's maybe your first time in front of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to take my word for this. What happens when you first get in front of the camera is it literally squashes your personality your confidence and
big
your enthusiasm
time.
As flat as a pancake.
Mm.
And it's a strange thing, because when you look into, I've looked into a lot of lenses. When I look into a lens now, I still get a tiny sense of the feeling that I think you guys probably would be getting if it's your first video.
I definitely do, yeah.
Amplified hundreds of times, which is, it's kind of like a black hole. And what it's doing, it's kind of sucking in your reality. And the more you're aware of it recording, the more you're thinking, oh my God, I've got to get this right. Now, you don't really have to get this right on that one occasion. I'm sure you've got time. I'm sure you've got enough batteries. I'm sure you've got enough opportunity. I'm sure you've got enough memory. That's fine. But you're self-imposing this huge amount of pressure. And the more pressure you put on there, the more irritated you get when you don't get it right. So the less able you are on take 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 to actually nail it. So I always recommend doing one thing, which is doing a few tests without the camera rolling. Just practice looking into the lens.
Yeah.
You know, and then roll the camera and then just kind of talk for a little bit, you know, without doing the actual part that you're going to record, just so you can get used to the, it's fine, nothing's happened, the camera's rolling, we're okay, world hasn't come to an end, and then deliver it, and if it's not gone quite well, then think, okay, do I need to do that whole section again? You know, what was the last point I got to? So there needs to be a nice clear break, like the, maybe the end of a sentence or a paragraph or whatever it might be. Just pick it up from there, you know, just be relaxed with it.
Absolutely.
And also try and visualize who you're talking to as well. So we've had some very nervous clients in the past, which have sort of sat there, and they've been so, you know, such huge personalities, and we've been talking to them in the green room, or sort of, you know, in the hair and makeup, whatever it might be. And the moment the camera's turned on, it's just like they shrink, really shrink down.
Every time.
So what I always say to them, who are you presenting to? And what's really funny is most people say, Rob, I'm not presenting to anyone. Mm. And I always say, well, that's the problem. Because you can't visualize anyone, because there is no personality, you know, on that lens, then actually it's so unusual. It's dehumanizing you because there is no human standing in front of you.
Yeah, big time.
So I say, we had a client recently who was presenting a video, and I said, you know, who is your favorite client? And they actually gave me the name of the client. And I said, tell me a little bit more about them. And they started to chuckle, and they were very fond, and they record lots of lovely memories. I said, right, now present to that person. Like, they are stood literally opposite where the camera is, and just present to them. It's not a camera now, that's now your favorite client. And that personality expanded back into the room.
Absolutely.
And suddenly you've got this wonderful sort of non-compromised version of this presenter, which was really bubbly in the green room. So I would say that is probably one of my most important insights.
Absolutely. No, that's great. That's great. That's really good, man. I really like it. I think we've probably given quite a few good tips there. I'd like to think so, and especially if it is your first video. If you get any inspiration from this podcast and our conversation, and you've used any of our tips, send it over. We'd love to see. We know we'd love to see if this helped anyone. You know, I'd be 100%. Keen to see how it's helped. You know, whether you post something on LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever it is.
We're always keen to give away free advice. You know, we are not doing this just because it's a job. It's a really cool job. We do it because we can't think of anything else we'd prefer to be doing.
Absolutely.
So we love watching content. We love watching your content. We love talking about your content. And there'll be a certain point, potentially, that you get to when you go, do you know what? I want to be in front of a professional camera and a professional microphone in a professional studio. I want to have a drone flying above my head. I want to be stood underneath a zip wire camera. And we'll get to that stage. But up to that point, let's just have a chat and let's talk about the thing that we're really passionate about, which is video content.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Rob. This has been a really good conversation.
Always a pleasure, Luke.
Always a pleasure, always a pleasure. It's been good, hasn't it? It's been good.
Have a wonderful morning, afternoon, brunch, evening, or good night, depending on what time of the day you're watching this.
Absolutely. Cheers, everyone.